Stampede Blue. What we talking about? Indianapolis, AFC South. Stampede Blue, let's air it out. Fly route, let's air it out. Topics, loaded like offense. Colt-centric, talk about it often. Stampede Blue, let's air it out.
Welcome back to Fly Route, Stampede Blue,
let's
air
it out.
Ladies
to a
and
big,
gentlemen, I'm your host,
like lines going offense. Colt-centric, don't take offense. Back in the day, Colts versus Dolphins. Nowadays, it's Jags playing mocked in South.
Here in week 11.
AFC. 33-13
over the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Like
home
color
game,
scheme. We talking AFC.
Win, a win over
one Foles,
team, who had
season,
ultimately kind of had his way with the Colts. The only two times that he's played against them or had semi-starts against them. He had one start with the Eagles, worked the Colts over. He came in relief and for Alex Smith from Kansas City years ago and ended up doing pretty well against the Colts, both in Lucas Oil Stadium as well. So it was nice to see the Colts kind of take care of that situation. Another positive here, the defense played very well. Jacoby Brissett was okay, decent enough. Just an all-around, for the most part, really good performance from the Colts. 264 yards rushing in this game. Colts had dual 100-yard games. Jonathan Williams and Marlon Mack combined for 27 carries, 225 yards. That is insane. That was excellent. I mean, big gains out of Jonathan Williams, 48-yard carry. Marlon Mack's long on the day was a 20, but he had several that were 10-plus yards, 11, 12, 13 yards. Very, very impressive game for the Colts on the ground. Nice to see the Colts' offensive line get back to where they were for the most part. Now, I will say this, just in all honesty, the Colts did not have a good protection game, in my opinion, for the most part. And when you look at kind of how the Colts worked through that, it was a little bit of it was kind of ugly, quite honestly. 15-24 for 148 passing yards for Jacoby Brissett. That's not what you want to see. A touchdown and a pick, sacked three times for a loss of 23 yards. Now, you don't love that. But most of the other points in the game, very, very good. I mean, you have to love the end result. Like I said, not only was it a big AFC South win, but that's a 20-point win and kind of going away, okay? Now, that 13 points, in my opinion, that last touchdown, kind of a gimme. The officiating staff is not going to really go on the review on that. They are not really going to care one way or another when you're inside of a minute to go and the other team scores a touchdown. You have that much of a bit of a cushion in terms of the lead. They're not going to review that. They're just going to, if it was close, they're just going to keep it as called. I tend to believe I saw the ball touch the ground as it was moving. So I think six of those points are junk points. A lot of what the Jaguars did in terms of yardage in that final quarter were junk yardage, in my opinion, as well. So I think that we should all be pretty happy with what we saw from the Colts throughout. Like I said, those 296 yards passing out of Foles, I mean, he had to throw the ball 47 times. They didn't run the ball hardly at all. Nine times. Colts held them to 29 rushing yards. That's very impressive defensively. You have to love that. DJ Chark, the real deal, though. We all knew that. Chris Conley is, somebody who's going to be there in the Colts' next meeting with them. He's going to be there for that help. Keelan Cole, a little bit of this and that. Leonard Fournette was pretty active out of the backfield. But the Colts held Dede Westbrook to only four catches, and you have to like that. Now, Chark, on the other hand, you love the way that the Colts play defense in coverage as well. A lot of broken up passes. We saw Malik Hooker near the beginning of the game nearly pick off a ball. Just so happened his legs got, kind of tangled up with the body, and he wasn't able to kind of keep his cat-like reflexes all the way to the ground. So love what you saw there. Lots of passes defended here by the Colts. This is one of the biggest ones we've seen all year, if not the biggest. 10 passes defensed for the Colts. You love to see that. Five quarterback hits. Only got two sacks on the day, but you know, we saw different day, different times where there was a lot of pressure in Foles' face, which ultimately caused a lot of his inaccuracy. So that was really nice to see with what came of this game. I mean, it didn't look like at halftime this was going to be, you know, any sort of anything else besides a one score game, right? 10-7 at half, kind of hoping, okay, put something together on your first possession. Let's see what happens. And, you know, the Colts did enough. And then they started running away with the game. I mean, those big runs from Williams and Mack, those were huge. So, also, I mean, quick news, if you guys don't know already, I'm sure that you do, Rocky Sin obviously went out of the game. Marlon Mack left the game, which apparently due to a broken hand. Don't expect him to play on Thursday. Mack apparently reported to some of the guys in the locker room there that, you know, he thinks he'll be okay. He might be okay, but he's probably not going to play on Thursday, especially I think with Jonathan Williams having the game that he did. You know, the Colts are going to be like, hey, look, we love you and you've had great games for us in a great year for the most part, but you're not playing on Thursday. It would be nice, but he's just not going to do it. So, all in all, I think when you look at big games, you look at Kenny Moore, huge game, several open field tackles, pass defended, a sack, got in there in a lot of different ways today. Rocky Sin had a pretty good game, had his first interception. I'd like to see that. One of the things on that interception, he and Malik Hooker both jumped about what seemed like 3 seconds too early for that ball. So, but he ended up coming down with it. I was really glad that he wasn't actually injured when it all came down to it, because DJ Chark, if I'm not mistaken, came in there diving for the ball after the ball had been tipped and looked like Rocky Sin's leg was getting all twisted. And that looked like that could have been dangerous, but it was nice to see that it wasn't. I thought that Anthony Walker was really good in coverage yesterday. We saw obviously an interception, a pick two from Bobby Okereke. So good defense there. I thought that there were a host of guys defensively that played really good football. I thought Marvell Tell had a pretty good game. There were still some times where he was kind of not great, but he probably should have and was in perfect position for an interception at one point. Very good there. Kari Willis, you saw him a lot in the box the other day. Was nice to see that. I mean, I just think that the defense all the way around had a fantastic game. Ben Banigou, I'm not exactly sure on his snap count, but every time I saw him in the game, he was in the mix. He only had one tackle on the day, but he was definitely closing in the edge for the Colts, which was nice to see, kind of in a power type role for him. So that was nice to see that he had the ability to kind of do that for the Colts. So I was happy to see that there was a little bit of mixture to his game and what he could actually do, all in all. So, I just think I was really excited to see that the Colts could put a full game together, especially that they did the majority of what they did in the second half. I think that's huge, because now the Colts aren't exactly a first half team or anything like that, but you've got to stack really good drives, really good defensive stands on top of one another, especially in the second half, if you ever want to take any sort of a large lead in what's going on in this game. So I was really happy for the Colts to see them actually put a real win together, which, I mean, yes, they all count as wins, but you guys know what I've been harping for weeks about, putting and stacking a two-score, a three-score win on somebody that you know you can just whoop. And the Colts did it to a team that, quite frankly, has had their number in the past several years. They had won their last five of seven meetings. Like I said, Foles was 2-0 against the Colts in his only two big-time performances in terms of when he either started or played three quarters at least in that game. They just put it all together. It was nice to see the Colts do what they needed to do to win. Big games out of Mack offensively. Like I said, Brissett was average, but good enough and led the team the right way. And I don't really think that you really ever felt that there was any real issues with how Brissett was playing his game. Even his interception was kind of hokey, in my opinion. That was a pretty obvious pass interference call. So you kind of let that go and not really, you know, you don't dwell on that in any way, shape, or form. Wasn't a bad pass. It was a good pass. Just got tipped, and it was because the receiver was interfered with, plain and simple. So love to see all of that. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back, kind of break down the game from top to bottom right after this.
Okay, guys, I want to talk to you about TickPick. TickPick is a great way to get tickets to see the Colts or any other sports, music, or entertainment event of your choice. Not only will you save 10 to 15% off every ticket order, you can do it without any annoying fees at checkout. Think StubHub, but without the fees. Just head to TickPick.com, select your seats, and head to checkout. Get on your way to the next Colts game with TickPick.
All right, welcome back, guys. Quick aside real fast before we get into the actual game itself. Obviously, the Colts beat the Jaguars. That's nice to see. Tennessee's on their bye this week, so we don't really get to see any action from them, win or lose. But the Texans got smoked by Baltimore. So that, I mean, good for the Colts in that regard. But keeping the long-term picture in mind, man, the Ravens are they're the real deal. So if the Colts were to get to the playoffs, that's probably one of the teams they're going to play if, and pending them winning this division. That's why it's so important for the Colts to win the division. Maybe you luck out and another team can take care of Baltimore in the first round if, you know, the stars align and all that good stuff. If not, you know, the Colts could possibly and probably will be playing them in the divisional round. So that's a team that the Colts are going to have to start, you know, if they continue to play well, they're going to have to start preparing for a team like that. So just something to keep your eyes on, folks. So first couple drives on both ends, everybody punts. Jaguars punt, Jaguars field punt at midfield and they're on their second drive. Foles ends up hitting Chark for a 34-yard touchdown catch and run. Colts only rushed four on that. They weren't getting pressure at this point. A third down conversion here led to this, put them in good position to finish off that drive. Jaguars go up 7-0. Nice to see the Colts rebound on this. The Colts start at their own 24-yard line. Mack put two rushes together for a first down, put two more rushes, and got another first down. At this point, he had five carries for 46 yards. Glowinski kind of tears things up a little bit with a false start here. However, Brissett and Pascal connect for a first down reception. Nice to see that. That's clutch-ish, right? Not big-time clutch, not big lights clutch, but it is clutch, nevertheless. Brissett also converted to Rodgers on another third down conversion attempt. It was a third and 10. Had a run for no gain and a drop pass by Hines that led to that third down attempt. Marlon Mack breaks out an excellent run for touchdown, breaks two tackles, at least two tackles, two spin moves, outruns the defense, and Mack was currently at this point now at 8.4 yards per attempt. Good, and the Colts are tied at 7 with the Jaguars. Marvell broke up pass, nearly picked off a second down attempt. The Colts end up forcing another Jags punt. The Colts took over at their own 30-yard line. Mack with another 13-yard run on second and 10. Brissett to Ebron. Nice catch and toe tap by Ebron there to convert for another first down. Jonathan Williams put his first big run together on this drive for 16 yards. Colts couldn't convert on third and short. It was like a lateral type, not lateral like you talk about in backyard, lateral in terms of direction along the line of scrimmage to Ebron. Ebron wasn't ahead of the sticks. And the worst part about it is that Jacoby threw to him. He had no room, even if he was going to be able to catch and turn. He wasn't going anywhere. Vinny ended up hitting a 34-yard field goal, puts Colts up 10-7. That's the end, basically, of the first half scoring. Mack had now 10 carries for 80 yards. Kenny Moore got a huge stop. Jags had to punt on Westbrook. Colts took over at their own 20-yard line. Couldn't convert, couldn't put themselves a full possession together on that one and had to punt. Jags had to punt on their following possession as well. Colts took over deep in their own territory. Brissett missed on Pascal on first down. Brissett connected with Hines, though, to convert on a third down attempt. Ngakoue forced a fumble. Lucky that that was recovered by Glowinski. Although Glowinski, or no, I'm sorry, Costanzo actually let the pressure in there from Ngakoue on that. That set up third and 12. Smith was a hold, committed a holding penalty. That was declined. Pressure came, and Brissett couldn't get rid of it. He had punt. Another good couple possessions here for the Colts. They just weren't able to put it all together. Colts put two plays back together on their following possession where they didn't meet to the sticks again. Fourth down opportunity to Chester Rogers. He didn't get to the sticks. I'm tired of seeing that. Okay, that needs to stop. That was a little concerned going into halftime, only up three, not going to lie. But that's the way it was. Colts only had 42 passing yards in the first half, by the way. So the concern was necessary and called for, right? First drive of the game, Colts convert to Ebron. Jack Doyle was called for an offensive pass interference. That put the play now at third and 19. Then you get a very nice run after the catch by Jonathan Williams on a screen pass for 31 yards to get the first down. This was something. Now, Colts weren't great on third down. I believe they were 4 of 11 on the day. But, man, some of the conversions that they had were huge, just like that. Following a penalty, just being able to long yardage, being able to put it together and get it done. Another first down from Johnson and Brissett. Johnson had a good game, had a touchdown catch in this one. Excuse me. And a really good game from Johnson on this one. I thought that was really impressive to see. Mack had another 20-yard run. He was at 14 carries for 109 yards at this point. Williams kept looking rough and tough inside. Mack was out at this point. Quentin Nelson nearly got his first touchdown from the fullback position, but it was called back. Now, real quick and aside, Colts win by 20 on this, so I'm not going to, you know, throw too much of shade on this one. But the last thing I want, if you're going to put a big boy back there, let's not make it Quentin Nelson, our literal best offensive lineman. It's like taking a quarterback out of the quarterback position to give the ball to Nyheim Hines, in my opinion. You don't take your best player out of position just to let him run in the end. I mean, that, not when you're up by three. You know, that's, I mean, if you're already up 20, do whatever the hell you want. But you're up three, and let's face it, Quentin Nelson doesn't carry the ball, guys. You know, I don't know. I mean, yes, fun. That's all great and dandy. And it just to me, it just was dumb to take your best offensive lineman out of position just so he could run in, because the Colts nearly got screwed on it. He couldn't go back in the following play because he was an eligible receiver on the play he carried the ball. You can't come back in as an ineligible receiver. I did appreciate the crew on TV explaining that, because I was, you know, it's interesting. You need to know that stuff. At any rate, Brissett escaped pressure, extended the play on fourth down, and hit Johnson on a one-yard touchdown pass. Colts were up 17-7, and Marlon Mack was out of the game with his hand injury. Saw a big stick from Malik Hooker on the following drive on D.D. Westbrook. In my opinion, that was a fumble. Westbrook caught the ball, tucked it away. Didn't happen, of course. Kenny Moore breaks up a fourth down attempt, and the Colts take over at their own 49-yard line. This was kind of nice. Colts getting good field position. Colts were able to take advantage of big plays in this one as well. Rodgers got a rushing attempt in this one. I think he picked up like 14, 15 yards. The Colts ended up getting a DPI on Herndon, and he had like four on the day. He was covering Pascal at the time. Gave the Colts the ball at the 5-yard line. Brissett rolled out, ran it in from 5 yards out. 24-7 with less than a minute to go in the third quarter. Not a whole lot goes on there until we get to some great coverage by Anthony Walker on two possessions later from the Jags. End of the third quarter, Jabal Sheard ends up breaking up a pass where he drops into coverage, forced the Jags to settle for a field goal attempt, and Lambeau missed wide right. Colts took over at the 36-yard line. That was when Williams put his big run down for 48 yards, and Hines finished off the drive with a 7-yard touchdown run. Colts were up 31-7. Outside of that Jags touchdown to Chark, which shouldn't even have been a touchdown, it was 31-13, but on the two-point attempt, Okereke got his pick two and ran it back, and the Colts end up winning 33-13, big win at home, like I said. Colts were 4-11 on third down. The Jags were 6-14. Those are garbage stats, though, for the Jags. I think they were closer to maybe 2 or 3 for 11 throughout the game until the fourth quarter. The Colts were 6.2 yards per play. That's a full 2 yards better than they've been in the past few games. 5.3 yards per play from the Jaguars. A lot of that's garbage stats as well. They were closer to that 4.5 yard per play before the final quarter. Colts only had 3 penalties in this one. Really nice to see them clean that up. That's a big part of their issues. The Jags had 8 penalties for 81 yards on theirs. Colts were 7.3 yards per rush, and the Jags were 3.2. Huge differences and huge situations there for the Colts. All in all, guys, like I said, really good complete game for the Colts. Both sides of the ball. Love to see what we saw. Colts come back. We're going to have another couple podcasts through the week. Try to get as much out to you guys as we can before Thursday's game. It's a big one. So we'll try to come back tonight and have another podcast talking about the Colts matchup this week. They're all big from this point on. And the Colts now are 6-4. They need to stack another win or two on what they've got going at this point. So Colts are 4-2 at home. Big win. Big AFC South win. It really was, guys. Colts are the only undefeated team in the division. That's helpful. That's big. And the Colts need to continue to put these things together and really, really kind of show the AFC South that they're still the big dog. So thank you guys all for listening. We'll talk to you later on this week right here on the Colts Cast.